As we approach the 48th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, we have an extraordinary story to tell. This is a civilian story, the story of a 27-year-old American banker named Ralph White, who had been serving Chase Manhattan Bank in Bangkok and was asked early in April to transfer to Saigon with one particular task in mind. His new book is Getting Out of Saigon. It's from Simon & Schuster. We're delighted to welcome to WTBF, Ralph White.
Hi, Dave. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to talking about my book. I had worked in Vietnam. My first job out of college was with American Express, and they sent me into the Central Highlands of Vietnam during the war to run a bank on a military base. I was only 22 at the time, so I had a little Vietnamese experience. 4 years later, I was working for the Chase Manhattan Bank, and I came out of the training program in New York, and if you did well in the program, they asked you where you wanted to go, and if you did badly in the program, they told you where you were going.
Right.
And I said, "Oh, send me to Bangkok. I'd love to go there." And so I had been in Bangkok for about 2 months, and senior management for the Asia Pacific showed up and asked me if I would take over a Saigon branch. And the reason for that was it was the early days of the fall of Saigon, and our manager in Saigon was Dutch, and he didn't believe that the American embassy would help him in the final days. So Chase wanted somebody who was basically young, single, and expendable to take over the branch.
When you got there, you found out that things were far worse than we had been told on the news media. And yet there were people, such as the ambassador, who seemed totally oblivious to the fact that things were going badly and quickly.
That's absolutely right. It was, things were worse than I had been led to believe. I think than anybody knew, to be honest. I don't think it was a failure of the bank's management that I wasn't informed. And I don't think anybody knew.
Yeah.
The two things that we hadn't really considered was, you know, we knew that the northern provinces had fallen to enemy troops. The North Vietnamese had flooded over the demilitarized zone and had overrun Pleiku, where I'd worked for American Express. That was in enemy hands by the time I showed up 4 years later. What we didn't know, what I didn't know, was that enemy troops were in Xuan Loc, just 40 miles outside Saigon, and that if Xuan Loc fell, there would be no military buffer between the enemy and us. The second thing I discovered that didn't really conform to my expectations was I understood that the U.S. Embassy was going to help us, help Chase close the branch and evacuate the staff. My first meetings were with Ambassador Martin and Deputy Chief of Mission Wolfgang Lehman, and they said, "No, we're not going to help you get out. We're not going to help your Vietnamese get out. Stop talking about closing the branch. That's way premature. And it would be illegal for us to help you get Vietnamese out. So stop talking about that, too." So there I was, April 14, with 2 more weeks before the fall of Saigon. And I had enemy troops 40 miles away and the embassy telling me to go to hell.
And how many employees did you have that you needed to evacuate from Saigon?
You know, that's interesting. I at the time, I didn't know. I didn't know how many employees I had. It turns out there were 50-something. Chase instructed me. My mandate was to get out the four senior Vietnamese officers, banking officers. And I'd sat down with them, and I knew them. I knew that they had families. That would have been a small group to get on a commercial flight. Mm-hmm. I could have gotten them out pretty easily. If I could get more out than just those four, then I would take out the department heads. There might have been 10 or so department heads, and I would try to get them and their wives or husbands and children. I wasn't allowed to take out parents or nephews or nieces or brothers and sisters, just employees. But when I got there, the employees told me that they believed that they would be shot and killed if they were left behind because they'd worked for an American bank.
Right.
Would be considered enemy troops. And so I had to get all of them out. It took me several days before I realized that included 113 people. When I heard that number, I thought, oh my God, how am I going to get any of them out, let alone 113?
Right. And it's not like you could just book a flight. Everybody's trying to get out. One of the most interesting characters becomes a central character in all of this is a teenage woman that you met at church and noticed her there, and you guys struck up a friendship, and she was of a considerable amount of help to you, wasn't she?
She was. I was approached in at the church was the Basilica of Notre Dame in Saigon. It's right in District 1. Most tourists stop off there, and it's still there. And a young woman who turned out to be 17 approached me, and her name was Nya, and she was a prostitute, and she was a sex worker, and she was plying her trade. She was trying to she tried to recruit me into her plans. I said, look, I don't do that, but what I'll do is I'll pay you to not have sex and to help me out, be my assistant, be a translator. I ended up recruiting her to help me out that way.
It is really a remarkable story, and there were all sorts of alternate plans that you tried and that fell through. There, you had experience as a pilot, so at one point you thought, well, maybe I could get an airplane, and then you found out how many people you needed to get on the airplane and realized even if I could get an airplane, I couldn't get one that big, right?
You know, I like talking to people who have a mastery of the details of the book, and you're doing a great job, Dave.
Oh, thank you.
I did have a pilot's license. I'd flown Pipers and Cessnas, just two-seaters and four-seaters. I'd never flown an airliner. I had no business even thinking that I could. But when I was looking at contingency plans to get my people out illicitly, I thought, well, maybe I could steal a DC-3 and get at least some of my people out that way. Well, I also have spent a lot of time out on the ocean in salt water, and I'm pretty competent with boat handling. So I thought maybe I could steal a rice ship and get them down the Saigon River that way. And I explored that as an option. I carried $25,000 in cash in case I had to bribe somebody. Carried a 38 caliber revolver in case $25,000 in cash wasn't enough. I had a lot of contingency plans. I ended up not needing to do any of them. I didn't steal a plane. I didn't steal a ship. I didn't bribe anybody. I didn't shoot anybody. I ended up discovering that there was a clandestine program right behind the ambassador's back inside the embassy to help at-risk Vietnamese get out. And the clandestine program was run by some mid-ranking Foreign Service officers who I give a big shout-out to in the book.
Yes.
They're the real heroes.
Ralph, it is an extraordinary story. His book is Getting Out of Saigon, How a 27-Year-Old American Banker Saved 113 Vietnamese Civilians. It's from Simon & Schuster. Ralph, thank you very much for the chance to read your book and to get a chance to talk to you. Yeah, you have leapt to the top of my heroes I have met in my life, my friend.
David, you're very, very kind to say so. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, sir. We've been talking to Ralph White, the author of Getting Out of Saigon, How a 27-Year-Old American Banker Saved 113 Vietnamese Civilians. For WTBF, I'm Doc Kirby.